All right. So, James said, what do you suggest when I typically have a full hour, but on the rare occasion I'm limited to 30 minutes? Can I substitute the same week of Stronger Seven, still benefit from progression planned into the stronger programs? Or do I do fewer reps? Do I just do the push, the pull, the legs, and skip the smaller muscle groups? I would return to the longer program in the next workout. Yes. So, and that is a pivot. That is a very wise one. And are you still benefiting from the progression? Yes, absolutely. So the biggest thing we have to remember is, let me admit everybody here, the biggest thing we have to remember is probably above progression comes consistency. You know, if we were saying, first commandment is consistency, second or third is definitely progression. And we do want that, but sometimes having that little break thrown in, and it's not actually a break, which is I want everybody to acknowledge when you are really busy, realize sometimes life is giving you a part of the workout. And the adrenals and the stress and the cortisol piece that's happening because you're busier, you're short on time. Generally, anyway, there's some stress. It might be a good one, could be a bad one, or a one that we don't love and we still have to gear up for it. And yet that is a surge of not the same kind of benefit to your muscle or to your bone density, certainly, but it is a way that you're causing a need to balance because you're short on time and it's just going to serve you up here. Take this 30 minutes, make it count because potentially it can be more intense. You can do any of what you just mentioned. So if you're looking for a really definitive answer, I would suggest to you, if you've got one in seven that you are like, I really like this one, it's kind of a go-to, it's a staple. And I know if I do it intensely enough, I get the workout that I really need in the program that I'm in. I would say mentally, I have that exact thing. I get up and quite frequently before a conference, that might start and you got to be down there by 8:30 to be in your seat at 9 and see people. I often think oh, I have tons of time. Because usually Moses wakes me up at 6, but it never works out that way because there's always a, again, there's an email to check. There's team members who needed to talk to me and they need me to weigh in on something. And so usually I get crunched in, the amount of time that I've got when I go down to the gym or when I'm doing some kind of a workout. And I will do the same thing. I have a go-to and I have something that works that I know, and I may have done it more than once before, but this is hit those major muscle groups, make it count. When you only have 20 minutes, you make every second count. And so sometimes a short workout can be actually much more effective and efficient in getting you the stimulus for muscle that we need and be just exactly what we need to balance the reason we're short on time in the first place. So I would say you cannot go wrong with any of the options that you threw out. So whenever you look at the cheat sheets, the workout plans for any of the programs and any of the workouts, they're always written with the most important sets are first, so that if you're busy or tired and you drop out the second, the third, or the fourth set, or whatever might be included, you have done the most important work first. So you're never going to see biceps and triceps be the first on the workout, right? You're never seeing shoulders first, at least not alone. It might be included in one, but that is very, very rare that I will do that because, again, it's a smaller muscle group. We need the shoulders to be fresh so that they're not overworked already or tired when you go to doing the larger muscle groups. So you're spot on. I think you figured it out. And if you want to have a go-to, I certainly do. Mentally, I know what I'm doing. I go into the gym, I carve out a little area. I'm not dependent on anybody else to free up space or machines or dumbbells. I pick what I need, I get my little space, I go to town and do it, and then I'm out of there. If I have more time, I can expand on that. but I make it very, very efficient. And so I love either of the options. And yes, then you can jump right in and you can say, stay consistent. So I'm still on track, and you don't necessarily have to do the workout you missed. But if you're only missing one, you can do that other workout of the week and do it right back into the program. So hope that was helpful for anybody listening, by the way. Stephanie said, I am nearing the end of my first year of being a member of Flipping 50. I've done Stronger 3 twice, Stronger 4, and now I'm on week 5 of Stronger 1. Not sure if I'm doing it right or using this program the best way I can. I typically do weights one day, then yoga the next, HIIT on a third day. And as I recall, I first joined, I had an initial call with a coach. There was somewhere on the website that offered guidance to make the best of this program. My main goals are to increase bone density and stay strong, get stronger. Am I off track or you're way on? So all things are on the path. So certainly, and if you go in the app, you go to start here. It's always start here is a good place to start. So you'll find all of your, here's the cheat sheet for all the programs based on what you want. Every strength training program that is in your first year, and you joined us. So I don't know if you were lifting before, but everybody needs to hear this. Well documented that lifting moderately, and you don't start that way. We don't start with 15 or 16 repetitions. We start a little higher even as you onboard, because it is not about the weight. It is about the neural connection, your mind getting a stronger signal to the muscles to recruit more, to recruit them stronger. It's like a stronger Wi-Fi signal that you're working on. We cannot rush that with a heavier weight. So even though you come in, your goal may be bone density, it's also got to be agility and balance and stability and safety so you can continue to work hard and get the results you want. So if we rush you right to an injury, which we may do if we don't set that foundation, not just for your muscle. You may feel like, no, my muscle's great, I'm fine. But what you can't see is how your ligaments and your tendons are responding, and they don't get as much hydration. So it takes them longer to recover, takes them a little bit more to kind of lay the foundation so that you'll be safely doing the exercise that you want to going forward. So up to a year, almost 48 weeks, which is, if you take a week off here and there, that's a year. So up to that point, there is at about 15, 16 repetitions, still bone density benefits being gotten. So imagine the continuum. If you're on the couch not doing anything and you get up and you start lifting at all, you get up and you spend more time exercising, you're getting more bone density benefit than you were. No contest, even if it's not heavy. So we do know the researchers in this particular study who were looking at it, and it is a large collective meta-analysis. It's not a small study of a few people. It is actually looking at a large study, a pool of many over what happens with bone density from resistance exercise, that we know that you're going to get that at that point. Now, the researchers suggested at the end, and this is an important distinction, they suggested that at that point, there may be a plateau, and that those were their exact words. There may be a plateau where the bone needs additional stimulus to get more. Some of us won't be able to do that because we've got old joint issues. We have rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis, fibromyalgia, and other reasons why we cannot go heavy, or we suddenly start to feel like I'm injured or I'm sore more often or feel as if I'm going to be injured. So I know I need to back off of that and cannot go heavier. And we're all going to find that at one joint in particular. And so it's important, an important distinction to make that we also, as we slowly progress up to that moderate and we maintain it there after about 3 to 4 months, many of us can hit that range pretty safely. You may or may not go down below that in repetitions. And if we go down in reps, the weight goes up because we want to reach fatigue in that point. But there may be other tools then that you can use. If you're able to do high impact work and you need to check and see, are you able to do that? And things that might keep you from that might be prolapse or incontinence or bone on bone or degeneration, and maybe feeling like that's not an ideal thing for you. So you either know that yourself or you're going to check with a physician to know, is that something I can or should be doing? But there's also yoga, and we know there's also activity at an activity level of 300 minutes a week or more. There is lower risk of osteoporosis or low bone density because simply being up, standing, active is more beneficial because we're resisting gravity to a greater extent than if we're sitting down, lying down, or certainly at bed rest. There's greater stimulation. But if you can't go heavy, then that is, and kind of a fine line, you're going to find that. So bone density can be had and found at all levels. Just because you can't gain more doesn't mean you're losing if you stay at that moderate level and continue to reach fatigue. It is the effort level that really matters. So you've got to make sure you're reaching those last repetitions. And there is a slight increase of the bone benefit if we can get the fatigue at a lower number of reps and a higher weight. But again, not everyone will be able to do that. Other things matter a great deal in terms of bone density too. Like, are you taking estrogen? There's a direct connection with those who are doing hormone therapy and resistance training have the best improvement in quality of bone. And if the order of importance is important to you, resistance training trumps hormone replacement. By itself, hormone replacement isn't going to help you gain bone density. Resistance training will. If you combine the two, you have the best possibility of gaining and at least not losing. So you are doing great in terms of choosing it. And what you want to ask yourself is, how's my energy level? How is my body composition? How am I doing? And so it is definitely a personal choice in terms of which program do you go through. As you've already figured out by the way you've done them and what order they were, the numbers are related to the order they were created in, not the order that you would go in. So Stronger 3 is almost always the first place I recommend for an apparently healthy individual who is just getting started onboarding, has a reasonable amount of time between 40 and 45 minutes a week to do total body workout that allows total recovery also in between. That's ideal. Then we've got, Stronger 7 and Stronger 5, both are slightly shorter. Definitely 7 is on the shorter side. 5 is a little more eclectic, but still somewhat shorter. For people who are, I'm really busy, I'm coming back maybe after having been taxed a little bit, maybe by a virus, other things and other reasons, maybe life hit hard. All of those things also say time or energy, we want to go a little bit shorter, but we want to sneak you back into a regular, consistent routine. So those things are also there. So you're on the right track. Reading the PDF, it's basically a cheat sheet of all your programs in the start here would also be really helpful for you if you're wondering what do I want to choose next? And that should be helpful too. And we can also help you if you want a little input here and where should I go and what should I do? The answer to that will come if you share, here's how it's feeling, here's how I'm doing, here's progress that I've made or progress that I'd like to make a little bit more of. So great question. Jane said, how does creatine work? What happens when you stop taking it? Will my strength gains last? I've not ever taken it, wondering if it's worth the expense and or short-term gains. I'm seeing slow positive changes without it. So creatine works to basically help hydrate and boost the muscle, but it's also great for bone density. There are some studies that will show taking creatine has a positive impact on bone density as well as on cognitive health or bone health. A lot of people are realizing now the benefits for cognitive function in two areas. Number one, if you're sleep deprived, can be really helpful there. And so that's on a one-off basis. I didn't sleep really well last night. I might take more, two or three doses compared to what I would normally take. The other one is jet lag. So if you're flying across time zones, can be really helpful for you in adapting really quickly and bumping that up. And so people who travel frequently and or find they're not getting adequate protein in at meals and consuming it is hard because of accessibility. Often happens when you're traveling. If you're not in charge, taking a little bit more creatine may be also helpful. Obviously, also boosting with protein like essential amino acids can be helpful as well. So you can take it for a short time. It's only going to work where it's going to work best when it's in your bloodstream for a regular basis. And it's going to work while it's there. Will you potentially be able to gain lean muscle mass? And are you going to suddenly lose it when you take it away? Not necessarily. But if you're trying to gain lean muscle mass, you want the cognitive and the bone density benefits. That may be a reason, a great argument to stay on it. You're not going to see immediate results. So if you commit to it and say, I'm going to take it for 3 months. Or 3 to 6 months, and I'm going to take it daily. I can't alternate days or do it when I think about it. You have to commit to doing it on a regular basis. It's got to be in your system, in your bloodstream, and know that you're just going to do that on a daily basis, whether you're lifting weights that day or you're not lifting weights. It's not about that. So you're going to feel better going into it, more energetic, potentially. Able to lift a little bit heavier, and you're going to recover from it a little bit more quickly as well. That's how it's going to help you. And again, it helps all three. So it's going to increase the kind of intramuscular benefits. I guess I still have my timer on from walking. But it's going to hold water in the muscle. It's going to pull it into the muscle. So you'll be a little bit better hydrated. That's going to help you release glycogen a little bit better. So the fuel source is going to be there readily. So all of those are huge benefits. I hope that was helpful. Let me know if there's a follow-up question. Amy said, can you talk more about Sifox and how the testing is done? So, yeah. It's funny. I was just thinking about that earlier. We must be on the same wavelength somewhere. But I was just walking, thinking, I haven't really talked very much more about that. And first of all, I will say about that company and the experiences, I don't think I've ever had that good a customer experience. And just the communication from start to end was so, so good. So, Sifox is at home. Blood testing. So, if you wanted to test your hormones, you want to test, look for longevity, you want to test just overall metabolic health, like your heart, generally hormones are involved in that for women, especially, a multitude of things and all the basics, of course, like your cholesterol level, and the balance in HDL, LDL, and all the little particles as well. You can do that. And there's add-on things that you can do as well. But the way it works is basically they send you a kit, an at-home kit. You pull it out and it's so well packed. You're pulling out first on top is an ice thing, like you would put in a cooler if you're going on a picnic. So you put that right away. It says put this in the freezer. So you cannot miss it. You can't really screw it up. They make it so ABC, it's paint by number. So you put that in because as you mail it back, you want to not take your sample until that's frozen so that you can collect it. You're going to collect it between Monday and Thursday because on those days, FedEx is available to get it back. And generally, you don't want to put something in FedEx where it's going to sit somewhere over the weekend. So you want to make sure that it gets where it's going if it's going to a lab. And that's why Monday through Thursday are the best days to do it. So I think I did my collection on a Thursday. I think I intended to do it on a Wednesday, forgot when I got up. And so I had some tea and already had broken my fast. And so I couldn't do it. So you get everything that you need to collect your own blood sample. So that if that makes you a little nervous, this will set you at ease. Have any of you done a continuous blood glucose monitor? Essentially, it's almost the same thing, although what you're doing is attaching the vial to you where the blood is going to be collected. But it essentially is same place, back of the arm, kind of a meaty area where it's going to attach to. And you don't have to follow the directions and read and articulate it all. There are pictures, definitely. But what you are going to do is when you wake up in the morning, whenever you're ready to do it, and you are going to do an overnight fast, it's only an 8 hour. So many of you have probably fasted longer than that anyway. But you get up and there is a QR code on the box, and you will have registered your kit so they know you're ready. And then you will scan that QR code so that you call someone and they're doing a FaceTime with you. So it could be, for me, it was between 5:30 and 6 a.m. I wanted to get up, be able to go about my day, but not have to go anywhere. So you do it all in the comfort of your own home in your pajamas. And you've got somebody right there who's saying, okay, I want you to open this up. And then, yep, and she's looking at you. So I didn't even actually have to look at the needle. I just looked in and she's like, yep, put it right there and then go ahead and put it on. And then I just kind of turned away. I didn't look at it. And she's like, I can see it filling. So you're doing good. And just letting me know how to do it. And then let me know, ready to pull it off. Go ahead and do that. Here's the vial. So grab the first one, put the lid on. And I think there were two vials, and that was it in the kit I did. So I didn't do any extras and add-ons. If you did, you might have to draw a little bit more blood, but it was all very quick, probably done in 10 minutes, 15. Outside of, she also then, when we were done, she said, okay, you can take it off. Here's how to do it. And then what I want you to do is take those vials, put it into this package. So there's a little baggie. Here's the FedEx package, that once we tie this, put it back in the box. I want you to put the box in the FedEx package with your ice, go wrap that all up. And she said, now you're ready to go. Just drop that off by 4 p.m. today at FedEx. That was it. So it was so very easy. And immediately that day after dropping it off, I got a confirmation that, hey, your kit, your labs are on the way, and or your kit is on the way to the lab. And then the next day or two, hey, it's been received, it's being tested, and then here's your results. So I did it Thursday. Had I done it on a Monday, I think I would have had my results back by Thursday or Friday. Because I put it in the mail late on a Thursday, I got my results. I think it was Tuesday morning. So still pretty quickly if you ignore, or eliminate the weekends. And then the review process is you get it on an app, but you can pull that up on your desktop, laptop, and look at, how you did in the interpretation of, you compared to not norms, but optimal levels, what it means. You get an interpretation and suggestions for improvement. And it's not a sales pitch. There's no, if you've ever done a stool test through Viome, that's kind of, here's what we suggest you need, and they are selling you a whole line of supplements that you might want to take. And that was like, do I really need that? Is that really my result? Or do you really want to sell me that? It was just a little, I don't know, off-putting for me. But with this, it was just, here's the supplement types that you would do well with, like omega-3s or, taking a healthy fat supplement, changing the diet slightly in certain foods, those kinds of recommendations. Rest and recovery, versus exercise in different places, depending on what it was. So the interpretation was great and amazing. I can still go back there and look at it. And I'm going to do a follow-up test. So I'm following the advice on a couple of things for mostly for healthy fats. I'm doing fatty 15 and omega-3s both. And then I will post-test at about 4 months, just so that it helps to have a start and a stop, right? For most of us, we do so much better when we know I'm going to test again. So if I really want to see a change and I've committed to doing that, I'm much more likely to follow through on that daily. It's kind of like the creatine. You can see it sitting there, but if there's no real reason to take it, or you're very busy, you may leave it out of your routine. But if you know you were going to test and you're looking at something, you're far more likely to do it. I think it's the benefit of a challenge. It's why we often commit to doing a challenge, because I know I need to work on that. So somebody frames it up, it's so much easier to do it. So that was my experience with Sifox. And when I lived in Phoenix, 6 minutes away from me was a lab, and I would go to it when I needed blood drawn. And that's great, but you're also in a room full of a lot of people that may be there because they're sick and they're testing. And probably 50% of them were, or 75 even. And if I had known about this then, even though it was that close, I probably would have done it this way. And instead, drive it to FedEx at my convenience instead of to the appointment and the window that you're given. But it was fantastic. Just so very easy. Michelle said, I recently discovered that I have the prothrombin gene for blood cells. My doctor told me not to use the blood flow restriction bands. How do you suggest I do the recovery week? Heavier weights, lower weights, more reps, or same as I would with the bands? Remember that the purpose of the week is recovery. So you're going to go light, because the goal is not necessarily to do totally to muscle failure and fatigue, but you're going to go with really light weights. You can increase the reps if you need to, slow down the timing of the exercise if you need to. The blood flow bands just allow you to go really weight with the or light with the weight, and then still reach muscular fatigue, because you're tricking the body that it is working at fatigue, even though you're not doing the muscle damage. So if you go heavy, you're not doing a recovery week, right? So you want a recovery week. It needs to just feel very light. So think of any other program that you've gone through and how light that week four was. So even a flowing yoga class, or session in a recovery week is total body. You're getting much more muscle endurance than you are complete going to fatigue. So that serves you really well. So hopefully that helps. Shanna says, I ran across a Facebook post from Dr. Fishman that says that has this Q&A. Question, why have you suddenly advised people to divide their yoga for osteoporosis practice in two, separated by halves by 8 hours or more? And the answer was, several different researchers have found that the refractory period, time between osteocytes and osteoblasts, that's the breakdown versus the build up, need to recover from their bone making, is about 8 hours long. Further, 72 seconds of stimulus sets these cells to work for about 30 minutes, stimulating the cells more, e.g., by doing yoga for 20 minutes has no effect beyond the first 72 seconds for each bone, but still has the wonderful effects of yoga. So here's my question. Shanna says, is it fair to extrapolate from this that we should divide the 12 poses into two separate groups and do half in the morning and half at night? And we can divide them up by which body parts are being used. For example, split the two twists between morning and night. So it's a great question. And I would say this, if that complicates it, I would say no, I would do them all at once. It's only 12 minutes. And I don't think you're hurting yourself. The question is, are you getting enough more stimulus by doing it then and then? And that might be true if that's all you were doing. If you were also not weightlifting and you were not walking and weight bearing, that might be true. But I would suggest that if this complicates it, I got to do some now and I got to do some again in the day, then no. However, if that makes it actually easier and mobility is also something that you need to work on, doing half and half could be very beneficial. I think what it should give to you is total latitude about this is doable and this is doable, and they both work. So I don't think you're going to get lesser results, but potentially he's saying you may get more results by splitting them up. But if you're also walking, doing impact, doing weight training, and you're getting at least one bone stimulus every day, I think I would call that good. And so I think it's up to you. And I think it's really smart to ask that, but I wouldn't say you're shooting yourself in the foot or maybe you're leaving something on the table. And if you were really at risk for frailty or, challenge with bones and unable to do other things like impact lifting to muscular fatigue or significant amounts of on your feet movement, then you may want to break it down. And I would s not give a nod to his answer there in terms of, the benefits of yoga, if you're using it at all for cognitive focus, concentration, and reduction of cortisol, a slightly longer practice may actually do you really good, right? So you're doing that for 12 minutes and you're kind of going from one to the other. If it's become kind of a ritual and a routine, may lend itself to a little bit more cognitive benefit, mind-body benefit. If you hold on to that longer one, if you have the time. So I hope that helps, kind of brings the decision making back to you. Gay says, I've been trying to join membership as my 12 weeks of Tone and Define are about over. Is Cafe the same as a year membership? It is. Yes, I'm assuming it's clear if there's a progression of workouts or do I choose what I want? Both. So, yes, and the workouts are progressive, but they're progressive meeting you at the place where you are. And that said, what I mean by that is, I could create the sweetest program of start here, go here, go here, and then you know what? Life slaps you somewhere because that's what life does. So we have 12 programs that we could take you and say, ideally, here would be the path we'd have you go through if we could go in a progression that just took you from this to lifting higher and heavier and harder. That would be great. But life just generally doesn't happen that way. And so our energy levels may wane. Your hormones may be changing depending on if you're perimenopause or postmenopause, suggesting you need something. So the progression comes with when you get started, we generally have a meeting with you and a coach suggesting where are you? What hormone phase are you in? What's your activity age? How long have you consistently been lifting? What are your limitations and what are your outcomes? And from that, kind of four little icons, we have a sweet spot in the middle that will tell us based on that, these things should be your highest priority and these programs would be the best for you. And generally, we're saying, okay, here's your itinerary. This is the smartest program for you right now, or this one might work too. But next would be maybe either or of those if there were two. But I'd start here and then I'd progress to this one because that's going to be really helpful and giving you an idea of what you would do. So it's progressive based on you and pivotable because we're all going to have those needs to pivot. Right. So I hope that helps. So you've been trying to join. And if you're struggling with that, Gay, let me know that. But reach out to support at flipping50.com. Linda, how's the hip? After 2 months, I started back to strength training. So in case you're new here or don't know, Linda had hip replacement. And I'm so excited. It was a great recommendation from you. So thank you. More reps, lower weight for now. Anyone thinking of a hip replacement, I highly recommend that you do it. I can't believe that I'm pretty much back to doing everything except starting back to yoga, not quite yet, walking 30 to 40 minutes. Excellent. So good. And so let's shout out to you and going into it, why you were so successful. And I'm going to say this to everybody, and I'm going to pull a little bit of a me story in here. The stronger we are going into something when life happens or throws you a curveball, or, Linda probably didn't put her hand up and say, I can't wait to have a hip replacement, right? But she needed one. And going into it, she was strong and she was agile and she had great balance because she'd taken such great care of herself that coming out of it, then also, not only do you have the frame of mind that that's who I am and that's the life I'm going back to, but you also are going to be more resilient in your recovery because of the way you prepared. So realize that you're potentially, maybe you're not seeing the weight loss or body composition loss as quickly or as effectively as you'd like to, but you are gaining strength or maintaining your strength, and you are gaining mobility and functionality that will stay with you when you need it. So my brother, the healthiest of my three siblings, had a fairly routine shoulder surgery last week on a week ago today, actually. And it's been a very long week. And it was, having a shoulder redone surgery is no fun because they got to pull out the old hardware and put in new. That's a little painful. But because of complications, whether an infection during or anesthesia or something, he is retaining a lot of fluid and sodium levels are not in balance. His kidneys are struggling. He had a heart attack, has a lung embolism. And, going into it, thankfully, he's fairly fit. He's been active all his life. And, he's just in a lot of pain, and there's a lot, that he's got to recover from now, other than, the shoulder. So that's the least of his issues, actually. But when something like that happens, and it's not just him, it's, so his wife, right? And staying with him overnight, and then going home to catch sleep while somebody else relieves her, all these little things that we may find ourselves in those shoes, the more fit you are, the more resilient you will be in bouncing back mentally and physically. And I think both are probably big keys. That is so very important. So taking care of yourself and just realizing that, hopefully nothing of this sort would happen to anyone, but if and when it does, you will be in a much better place because of it. And I think probably during the pandemic, so many of us saw that. We saw people who were really overweight, out of shape, did not fare very well. And those who were, even if we got it, ended up recovering fairly well, or at least better collectively. And you may have been an anomaly, and hopefully not, but wanted to share that. Isabel says, I have to go very slowly with my upper body workout because my neck and shoulders get very tight. Have been doing neck and shoulder exercises. One, when I do upper body workout, should I do heavier weight, less sets, break up exercise into multiple day or less weight, more reps? Two, I recently bought a power plate. How can I incorporate the plate to improve my upper body strength and relieve tightness? So great questions. And I suspected that your second one kind of doubled in. So I wanted to read them together. So I would not go heavy, at least not until you earn it. So generally for people, and I say generally, and that means there's somebody out there who's the anomaly. So you are the expert, every one of you here, you are the expert on what your history has been and how you've responded. But generally, if you go heavy, and especially if you get there too quickly, so you want to keep that slow and steady progress. You may reach that point where you do, but for a lot of people, if you cross a threshold and yours is at a different place than mine, and that anybody else is here, that you will most likely fire those muscles in the wrong way. So I would definitely continue the exercises that you're doing. We have a, I think it is flipping 50, number 18, and I could be wrong, but there is a neck, an upper back episode that goes into kind of a three-part. We want to, first of all, release muscles that are overly tight. We want to realign and make sure that we're able to keep shoulders down, kind of depressed, as opposed to letting them hike up and become aware of that. And we're retracting them, pulling them backward. And if you're doing that with me and it feels better, you needed that, by the way. So even just very subtly dropping down, pulling them back, and making sure that you're pulling that chin away from the finger just about an inch to align the crown of your head kind of over your spine. But even that, so we release the tension as you're doing, realign and really become aware of the posture, and then re-strengthen. So I would definitely stay with lighter weights because some of the muscles that we need to recruit are smaller ones, and those won't play when we're going heavy. The little ones will kind of shut off. So if we go light, we will end up recruiting those smaller ones where when you do the exercise, you can keep the shoulders depressed, keep the retraction, and keep the form, whether it's a chest press or a row, or it's a shoulder exercise. But I would stay light, slow it down if you need to, is a smarter way to go than go heavy too fast. Doesn't mean that you won't be able to go heavy at some point, but I wouldn't do it yet. Until you get to a point where you have a lower frequency or you have a lower intensity or both of flares for that area. And in terms of power plate, so you could sit on it or you can stand on it, but combining the exercise that you're doing with the power plate would allow you to do a little bit more, but I wouldn't do that until. Do the power plate, get used to it, get comfortable with it, date it as you get comfortable and already are potentially comfortable with the weight training before you marry the two of those. So, similarly, if you're starting to use a balance prop or a tool, we wouldn't say, okay, now I want you to do the strength training right on it day one. We'd make sure you know the technique for the exercise first over here. You have the balance prop and you practiced on that and you know what you're doing there before we ever marry the two of them. So you can start and do them simultaneously. Other ways to indirectly is planking with your forearms on the power plate for short periods of time, just 15, 20, 30 seconds, see how you feel. And while you're on it, it's going to make you much more aware of your shoulders and what is happening. And the goal is not necessarily to do the longest hold you possibly can, realizing that while you're holding that and stabilizing, you're getting 50 micro contractions a second. So you're doing a lot of work without it maybe feeling like a lot of work. But doing repeats of that off and on, and just do three or four of them to start, short duration, and then leave it alone, see how you feel. You can be up on your palms if you tolerate that, slight bend of your elbow. Just again, think down, meaning depressed and retracted. So, really good form on that. So, you're using them. So, I hope that was helpful, but those would be great ways to combine them. Jane said, how does, okay, we hit that one. Creatine, hang on. I'm going to come back here. Scrolling down. Any tips for someone with arthritis in their hands as a limitation? Otherwise, would be ready to go heavier. So, a couple of things that sometimes help, depending, is sometimes going really small or tight with the grip. It doesn't work as well. But if you can either put on gloves so that you have the ability to grip, and you can buy gloves with nice little padding in the palms that sometimes also helps. So it helps not only the grip and your ability to grip tighter without having to hold tighter, but you also get a little padding on your hands, which might feel better. And there are also some wraps, and I would let you go look for everything on Amazon these days, but I would go start playing with words in Amazon and look for, padding for dumbbells, something that might wrap it. It's going to make it a little bit bigger that might fit easier into your hand. And again, be softer to hold on to and a little bit sticky. So that would be one way. There are also wraps that you could use. So kind of going around your wrist and going around the dumbbell, you're kind of trapped, when you're doing that. So it's going to be a little bit harder to put them down. But if you feel safer doing it that way, that would be another way to go. Janice said, I'm having trigger finger surgery in June. Won't be able to lift weights with my right hand, the dominant side, for 2 weeks. Would it be okay for me to do the weights on my non-dominant, weaker side for those 2 weeks? Yes, and so I'd be a little cautious about having you for 2 weeks, but we're talking maybe four, right? We're talking four workouts. So I would keep it light. And let it be as much neuromuscular. So, kind of signaling the patterning, get your Wi-Fi signal on your non-dominant arm a little bit stronger. And if you are right now, you're okay to lift with both, I would do a little test right now for yourself and say, if I pick up the same weight, how many reps to fatigue in one hand versus the other? And see how close they are. If you have access to a dynamometer, a hand grip strength test, see how close those are to each other or how far, how much difference is there. If there's significant difference, then I feel much better about having you do one-sided. And if it's only for 2 weeks, we're only talking four workouts. I'm okay with that. Some of you, maybe nobody here, but somebody has asked me this question previously and said, for this next 6 weeks or 8 weeks, I'm going to be out and can't do it. Can I do it on my other arm? And I would not want you to do that, just constantly be lopsided on one side only. So, there are times when I would say for long term, not so much, but short term like this might be just okay. And you're actually going to be stimulating your core a bit more in doing that as well. Linda said, have you heard of hydrogen water? Yes. So been around for a little bit. So a friend of mine, TK, actually, I cannot think of his company, and I want to say it's Mind something. It's not Mind Body, but it's close to that. He makes a little, it's almost a disposable pouch of hydrogen water, and there are other brands that have come out since theirs. Theirs is imprinted with a special energy as well, so a frequency. But a lot of people, are kind of talking about it now, or a lot more were. With the advantage of getting it in, supporting yourself for energy. I've been approached by several people to represent their brand and haven't really taken that bite. And I can't say that drinking it on a regular basis, and I had a whole case from TK, I can't say that it just certainly didn't make me feel worse and maybe made me feel better, but it was more because of the novelty of drinking something. I think I drank more water, right? So on a regular basis, it probably had more to do with that than did I notice a big difference? So it would be great if there could be some kind of a pre and a post test to check and allow me to measure, then I would be all over that. How much time is too much for a wall sit? Well, here's the real answer, and hello and happy belated birthday. But it's how much is enough versus how much is just more for more sake, right? So what's the amount? And I would say if you can do it for a minute, you've probably gotten all the real results that you need from it, and you're not going to necessarily get more by holding it longer. And similarly to a plank, I would say the same thing. You know, the world record is what, holding it for 8 minutes. And it's like, okay, why? Why would you do that? You know, I could think of seven other things that I might do with each of those minutes that might be a little bit more functional and more valuable. So I would say do it for a minute and be done and move on to something that is going to help be a little bit more well-rounded. Shanna, yes, you're welcome. So thanks for asking. And Linda, great on you from Stacy. Linda says, "Oh my, so sorry to hear about your brother." Yes, it's just been a lot, right? It's like he what? Yeah. Isabel, very helpful. Good. Glad to hear it. Okay. Guys, I said we were going to end about 10 minutes early today when I began, and we're about 5 minutes before the hour right now. So I'm going to be running red lights if I don't stop now. And I think we're coming to the end of questions. So good timing. Heads up for all of you who are here live.